Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It is wonderful to be with you again. It is really wonderful to be with you again. Sometimes I wonder. But here I am, like it or not. On this auspicious occasion. Is this an auspicious occasion?
Sure.
Sure it is. Why not?
Why?
Because.
We can go around those circles forever. Mm. Go on and talk.
Just with that, I'm going to keep quiet.
Great, that's better.
You guys are going to get excommunicated.
Silence at last.
Throw them out. For the new people here today, God help you. Always try to remember, I am not a guru. I am not a teacher. I am not a yogi. I am a nothing. I am not looking for name or fame. I do not want to go on TV or write books or go on the radio. There's nobody left who wants to do these things. There's absolutely nothing I want. And because I do not desire anything from you, I can say anything I want. I can insult you. I can do anything. Because I don't want anything from you. But all is well. It is the ego that keeps you in bondage. It is the ego that makes you believe you are what you are. It is the ego that causes all the problems to come into your life. The ego is your worst enemy. Therefore, you have to do everything in life that you can do to annihilate the ego. The ego must be annihilated, totally removed, totally destroyed. The ego is like the uninvited guest that comes to the wedding party. Perhaps you've heard the story before. There's a wedding reception going on in a beautiful home. Everybody is totally blissful and happy and cheerful. There is singing, there is dancing, there is merriment, there is music. An uninvited guest comes into the party and tells everybody he is a friend of the bridegroom's father. And he starts taking control of the wedding reception. He tells the waiters where to put the food. He tells the musicians what songs to play. He wants to seat everybody at certain places. He gets drunk, he drinks, he eats. The bride's father becomes suspicious and inquires to the bridegroom's father and inquires and says, "Who is this person? How did he get here? Where did he come from? What's his status? Who invited him?" the uninvited one heritage going on. And he started to slowly move away. Until he was out the door and gone forever. The wedding reception is the self. Absolute reality. The uninvited guest is the ego. It comes along and tells you, you are this and you are that. You need this and you are that and you need that. The ego that tells you all of these things, what to do, how to live. When you sleep at night, the ego resides in the heart center, in the self, where it can give you no trouble. But as soon as you wake up in the morning, the ego jumps from the heart to the brain, and you become cognizant of the body. You say, I am the body. I am a man. I am a woman. I am sick. I am happy. I am hungry. I have to go to work. Not realizing that the I am that you're talking about is pure awareness, absolute reality. But believing the I am is individualized. You say, I am this, I am that. I am an Albanian looking for my cow. You believe all the things that you are, which you really are not. This is the ego. If the ego were not present, you would be a delightful being. You would be so happy, so blissful, always. You would not look for outside stimuli. You would not need anything in this world to make you happy, for happiness would be your nature. It is the ego that tries to tell you you are happy only when something good happens to you from outside. If you acquire a new home, or a lot of money in the bank, or if you acquire possessions, cars, that will make you very happy. And it is true, you are happy for a while. But then this changes. You get used to the situation. You therefore need new things. You need new people in your life. You need new playmates. New toys. It is the ego that makes you do this. Therefore, since the beginning of time, there have been those beings in this world who have understood this. There is nothing special about these beings. It is we who have not had a realization that give them names like sages and saints, teachers of wisdom. Yet these sages, these saints so-called, are simple people who have only realized the truth. The truth that the ego is not you. The body is not yours. The mind is not yours. Your true nature is absolute reality. Satchitananda. Nirvana. This is what you really are. Yet you appear to be a body functioning in this world like everyone else. This only happens because you believe you are a body. When you wake up in the morning and you see I am the body, then there are also other bodies. For when there is one body, there are millions of bodies. When the idea of being the body disappears, then there's only one. That one is Brahman, the pure awareness. And that one is the chalkboard where all the images of this world are put on the chalkboard, erased, and more images are put in the chalkboard, erased, and more images are put on the chalkboard. The images come and go, the chalkboard stays. The chalkboard is the self, the absolute reality. The images are all the people, the planets, the trees, the ego. The ego creates all the images, and you believe they're real. So you react to them. You try to fight them, you try to change them. You do all kinds of things in this world. And you waste your energy by trying to change conditions. The conditions, as most of you know, are actually part of the individual self. Not the real self, the individual self, which is nothing but an I thought. You no longer change conditions, you change yourself by inquiring where the I thought comes from, trying to understand that the I thought, when you say I, is the whole problem. I am this and I am that. That's your problem. Not the conditions of this world. You have absolutely nothing to do with this world. What we call God knows how to take care of this world without our help. Therefore, you do not need to try to bring peace to this world, try to solve the riddle of wars and man's inhumanity to man. What you do is you solve the riddle of yourself. You try to understand who you are, what you're doing here, where you came from. What is your objective? Who are you? You're not who you think you are. For someone gave you a name when you were born, and they told you you were a girl or a boy. It's all words. But who are you really? Where did you come from? They could have called you a dog. Some people still call you a dog, I guess. They could have called you a cat, a leaf, a saucer, and you would have answered to that. But you were born, they gave you a name, and called you a girl or a boy. It is we who put labels on everything. It is we who label the entire universe. It is we who say things are good and things are bad and things are this way and things are that way. We do all of this. Is it any wonder that we suffer? Nothing is real. Nothing is the way it appears. The beginning of wisdom is when you plead divine ignorance. When you begin to see that you do not understand anything in this world. You have no idea what anything is. You're just born into this world and they give it names. And you have accepted this. The time comes in certain people's lives when they do not wish to accept this any longer. They want to find out the truth. Who am I really? Who am I? I cannot possibly be this body because it changes constantly. Look at yourself, you're not the same person you were 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. You're not even permanent. You were born to die. There's no question about this. As soon as you're born, you begin dying. This is true of everything. Animals, vegetables, minerals. With the appearance of anything on this earth, it goes towards death, towards disappearance. So what is this truth? There really is no truth. For when you speak of a truth, you're speaking of somebody, something somebody told you, something you read in a book. But if you had a direct experience of the truth, have you understood for yourself what you really are? Or have you just accepted what the world has told you? You have to grow up sometime. And growing up means giving up attachment to person, place, or thing. I'm not saying giving up friendship. I'm saying giving up attachment. Letting go of all the things that you have memorized, all of the things that you have learned in school, all of the things that you have learned in church. To be totally free, everything has to go. You can't hold on to one thing. A good example of this is when Ramana Maharshi arrived in Tiruvannamalai when he was 17 years old. He threw away the last bit of money he owned, took off all his clothes, and started a new life. Of course, I wouldn't suggest that you walk down the street and drop all your clothes and say, I've come to know God. They will put you in the funny farm. Yet you do these things mentally. Everything is done mentally. You mentally give up attachments. You mentally give up possessions. You mentally give up good or bad. And you allow whatever happens to happen. This is a point that most of us are a little confused. When I say you allow whatever is to happen, will happen. What I'm talking about is simply this. There's something that takes care of this entire universe in the right way, without any help from you. You therefore do not have to take care of your body. What appears is your body will take care of itself. I know this sounds strange to some of you, because you still believe that unless you take care of yourself, you will never be able to take care of yourself. Unless you do it yourself. But this is not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is the same power that knows how to grow oranges in the orange tree, knows how to grow wheat, knows how to grow mangoes and roses and flowers and everything else, knows how to take care of what you call your body without any help from you. You simply interfere. For you are the ego, it appears. As the ego, you tell yourself how you're supposed to live and what you're supposed to do, whom you're supposed to be with, so forth and so on. If you would only surrender yourself, if you would only surrender your body, surrender your fear, surrender your nose, surrender everything, then the current which knows the way will become activated, and you will find that you're doing beautiful things on this earth. You will find that you're well taken care of. It also sounds sort of strange when I tell you if you have a disease, if you have physical problems, if you have problems of lack or limitation, do not attempt to correct these things. Whatever problem you may think you have, do not attempt to correct these things at all. Become the witness to the whole play of consciousness. Merely watch, observe, look intelligently at everything that appears, whether it's in your body, or in the world, or in the universe, or wherever. When you surrender like this, something will give way and lead you where you are supposed to be in this present time of your incarnation, going through the experiences that you came here to go through. As you begin to trust and have faith in the powers that be, you find that you're becoming happier and happier and happier. Fears begin to leave you. Anxieties, tension disappear. For you no longer have anything in this world to rely on. Yet, you are functioning, things are happening, and you are at peace. Notice how the thoughts come to you when I stop talking. You begin to think. All of these years you have believed in your thoughts. Whenever there's silence, whenever there's quietness, thoughts begin to do their work. Watch. You see what I mean? The thoughts are telling you things. What are these thoughts? They're experiences of the past. That's all the thoughts are. And worries of the future. The thoughts are not your friend. You must grab them when they begin and choke them to death. You can do this by inquiring, to whom do these thoughts come? Do thoughts come to me? I think these thoughts. Well, if I think these thoughts, what is the source of the I? Who am I? And keep still. Or you may become the witness and observe all the thoughts going on in your mind. Actually, when I say your mind, it's a misnomer, because the thoughts are your mind. There are no thoughts and the mind. Your only thoughts as the mind. Most people are totally controlled by their thoughts. Watch the way you react and see if I'm not right. Every time you react to personal place or thing, you're doing so because your thoughts are telling you something. Are they not? Your thoughts are telling you, I've been insulted, I've been hurt, something has been taken away from me, something is not right, something is doing this and something is doing that. It is your thoughts that tell you this. If you weren't able to think, again you would be totally happy. You would be blissful, for the nature, the substratum of everything is total happiness, total bliss. It is your thoughts that cause you confusion and problems, make you miserable, make you want to change things. You should be able to stay in one place forever without any desire to go anyplace or do anything. You may say, that's not fun. That's boring. For whom is it boring? For your thoughts. It is your thoughts that tell you you'll be bored unless you go here, unless you do this, unless you do that. Your thoughts tell you this. But I can perfectly assure you that if you didn't have any thoughts, you would be the entire universe. Therefore, there would be no place to go. You would become all-pervading, omnipresent. The whole universe would be in you. And you would be in the entire universe. Consequently, there's nothing that you have to do. There's no place you have to go. For the happiness that most people are trying to achieve by running all over the place, you already are. You already have. It's you. You are at peace with yourself. At peace with the world. Your job is to stop thinking. To remove the thoughts. The thoughts are your master now. They make you feel sad or happy. Good or bad. Why do you feel this way? For your thoughts, since you were a little kid, have been impressed by the world conditions, by your parents, by your school, by your church, and they have convinced you and programmed you to believe this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. Only when you have this will you be successful. If you don't have certain things, you're a failure. It is the thoughts that tell you these things. Again, if there are no thoughts, there is no one left to tell you anything. This is called liberation. Moksha, freedom. You begin where you are now. You begin with yourself. You question yourself. You inquire, who am I? You sit in the silence. If thoughts come, you inquire, to whom do they come? You become still. You try not to get involved with people who talk too much. You live in the moment, in the present. You forget about yesterday, last week, last year. Dead wood, didn't exist. Isn't that where you think about tomorrow? For what you are today will become your tomorrow. You make your life simple by not getting involved in too many things. And you watch. You observe. You look. But you do not react. As you keep this up, one day everything will just explode. Into light. And you will find peace. Joy. Total bliss and total happiness. Unfortunately, most people have to be kicked around by life a good deal before they decide that life is not for them. Unfortunately, most of us have to go through many experiences before we're willing to try something else. Most of you came in here today to listen to a talk, to listen to a lecture. And then when I'm finished and you go home, you continue in your lifestyle that you've always had. It is this lifestyle that has to be surrendered. It is what you believe you are that has to be surrendered. The idea that you are young or you are old, that you are poor, that you are rich, that you are healthy, that you are sick, all of these things have to go. You try your best to keep them thinking. You follow your breath. You become cognizant of yourself. You become mindful of all of your experiences, of everything that goes on in your life. You're doing something. You're not just allowing the vicissitudes of life to hit you square in the face and cause you to react any longer. What does it matter? What's going on? Leave it alone. Do not fight it. For this too shall pass. It is that time again to play Stump the Guru. We have questions. I have to get prepared for this. Let me take my jacket off. How is it that we are to be in the tomb with you from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 12 to 2 a.m.? What if we're at work between 6 and 9, and normally sleeping between 12 and 2. That's your tough life.
Is it 12 and 2?
12 and 3. It's 12 and 3, yeah. It means you'll come back 20,000 more incarnations.
Scare the hell out.
Until you're ready to sit still and stop sleeping so much.
What is the origin of those times, Robin?
There's no origin. There's something I'm doing. We always want origins. It's better to want origins. So it's advantageous to sit in the morning between 6 and 9, and the wee hours of the morning between 12 and 3. For some strange reason, I sit at those times. I don't do anything, I just sit. Just like I'm sitting here. Therefore, if you wish to sit at that time, you can say it's like a radio. You tune into the proper channel and you get a clear sound. So people tell me when they sit with me like this, clarity comes to them. And they're able to understand things. So if you wish to do this, be my guest. If you don't, 1,000 curses on you.
Robin, that was the only question.
That's the only question. And good. I'm sure we have more questions that you'd like to ask. Things you'd like to say. Songs you'd like to sing. Speeches you'd like to make. Feel free to do so.
All at once.
Sure. There's prune juice. There's like prune juice. So, what's cooking?
The ego.
Boil it.
I have a question. If one were unable, for whatever reason, to sit with you at those times, that should not preclude their sitting in meditation at other times, should it?
No.
I mean, they still have the opportunity to sit in silence other hours.
That's up to them, of course. You can do whatever you like with your body. You can sit, you can lay down. You can run around the block. You can do whatever you like.
But I'm referring more to, isn't there a value to sitting in meditation or in silence regardless of the time?
Of course. There's always value when you sit by yourself. And you leave the world alone.
Things start to speed up. That's involved in what we're doing. And what I notice myself is this feeling that things are getting away from me because since I'm getting involved with things, and getting involved in more movement, the mind starts moving faster. At those particular times, I'm supposed to say this command is drop it. What happens if it seems futile? At a particular time. That's when the most is at stake.
To make the statement, drop it and forget about everything. Do not think what you're thinking. Do not allow yourself to have those thoughts. When the thoughts come, when you feel futile, say, drop it. If you make the statement as an exclamation, you say, drop it. Something will happen to you. You'll feel peace. You'll feel radiance. You'll feel free. But don't do like a mimsy whimsy and say, drop it. Say, drop it. That means everything can go to hell. The whole world, the whole universe, everything. All my problems. All my fears, you have dropped it. It's finished, it's gone. It's like what I did once there and then when I said, wake up. Same thing. You are dropping all your theories. All of your knowledge. Everything. You drop it and let it go. But do not analyze it. Do not think about it. Do not put it in certain categories.
So when you see everything happening and what regarded as a dream, what I'm wondering is, when you do that, and you're regarding it as a dream, and it's regarding it as unreality, but it's my understanding that there's really can be no opposite to reality. That there is no such thing as unreality. There is simply reality. And reality, since it encompasses everything, can't have an opposite, because that would imply that there's two.
So what's the question?
How are we to regard, it seems like it's nice to regard this as a dream, yet at the same time, that's implying that it's all unreal. Yet at the same time, that seems to create a duality by regarding something as real and then something else as unreal.
It's because you want to feel something as real. There's no reality and there's no unreality. They're both impostors. Reality, when I use that term, is totally ineffable. It is beyond concepts. When you use the term reality, you are thinking of certain truths. Whereas those things that don't really exist are only words. So unreality has to go, reality has to go. Drop both of them. When you drop both of them, you feel free. For there's nothing that has to become real. No one has to become real. No one has to become. There's no one. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Get simplified.
Of course, there's no one to become real. You're not trying to trade an unreality for reality. You're not looking to make a trade. You're looking to empty your mind of both feelings of reality and feelings of unreality. You want to become totally empty. When you're empty, you become nothing. When you are nothing, you become everything. I took off my jacket when you put on yours.
Keeping the balance.
When we do sit in the morning with you from 6 to 9, do we just clear our thoughts and just try to, what would we physically?
You do absolutely nothing.
We don't try to think anything?
No, just sit.
Be still.
Just sit and watch.
Observe.
Observe. But don't voluntarily observe. Let the observation come by itself. Everything will happen of its own accord. Now let us practice some self-inquiry together. What you do is make yourself real comfortable. Close your eyes. As the thoughts come, inquire, to whom do they come? Then you say, well, they come to me. I feel the thoughts. Then you further inquire, who is this I? Who is this I that feels the thoughts? Where does it come from? From where does it arise? What is the source? Just like the uninvited guest in the wedding. As you keep inquiring about the I, where it comes from, it will gradually slip back into the heart center, into the self, and you will become totally free. You keep still. As thoughts come into your mind again, you repeat the same thing all over. To whom do these thoughts come? Who is thinking these thoughts? Why I am? I am thinking these thoughts. What is this I? How did it originate? What is its source? And you keep silent. When more thoughts come, you do the same thing. So let's practice this for a while. We have announcements.
Yes, Robert. I have some more transcripts to hand out if we have some willing participants.